Hello and welcome to this video tutorial brought to you by TutVid.com. Today we're going to take a look at creating this navigation bar in Flash using using Flash CS3 here and ActionScript 3.0. So we're going to take a look at how to overcome some of the differences between ActionScript 3.0 and ActionScript 2.0. So that's what we're going to be taking a look at doing here. And well, what does the navigation bar look like? I'll show you. Basically, this sliding light follows the mouse, and we have our little rollovers. And when I click on any one of these buttons, the light's going to snap to it, and it will open some web page. So each one of these actually has a different link, and you may have noticed that even when I click, for instance, when I click there, it snaps to. When I go back to Flash, I can still move this around. The reason that we're not actually going to cover how to just stop this light once you've clicked something, well, number one, it's going to take a little bit more time. Not too much more, but it would take a little bit more time. And number two, presumably, if you're using a navigation bar, you're leaving a page and going to another page. That, however, is not the case if you're going to be using this kind of navigation bar inside of, let's say, a Flash site. So there is where it would be useful to know how to do that. But we're not going to go over it in this one. Maybe something that we can cover in a future video, but this is what it looks like. This is what we're going to do, and let's get started. So I'm going to close this and close this. We're going to start completely from scratch, so you should be able to follow along perfectly fine. We're going to go File, New. We're going to choose New Flash File, ActionScript 3.0. Again, you're not going to be able to work in ActionScript 3.0 if you don't have Flash CS3 or newer. So at this point, there's only Flash CS3, but down the road, I'm assuming there's going to be CS4. Well, I know there's going to be CS4 and beyond, etc., etc., etc. All right, so we open up our Flash document here. I'm just going to move my timeline up by clicking and dragging. Hold down my spacebar, readjust the stage. This is far too big. So what I'm going to do is come down here to the Properties panel, choose Size, and I'm going to set my dimensions. I'm going to choose 640 by 50. So that's just 640 pixels by 50 pixels. Background color of, I'll stick with white, and frame rates, we're going to leave at 12. We are going to mess around with frame rate in a little bit when we go to work on that slider, and I'll show you what we're going to do. So we're going to leave it at 12 for now, and we'll get back to that later. So hit OK. And here we go. The new Flash document resized for us. First thing I would like to do is double-click the layer name and just name this layer Master. Because like I like to work, I like to put everything inside of a master clip, something I can, you know, I know everything's inside of, everything's contained, packaged up nicely for me, and I can control from the outside with a mask or a movie clip. And in this case, we're going to be controlling from the outside with both a mask and a mask and action script. We're going to be doing both of them here in this video. So before we actually get started drawing the navigation bar, let's mask this entire master layer. So no matter what we put in this master layer, it can spill off the edges of the stage, but it will never really be visible because it will always be masked. So insert a new layer, double click that layer name. We're gonna name it Mask. And select the mask keyframe there. Grab your rectangle tool. We're just going to make sure stroke is set to none here, and the fill, you can pick any color you want. I'm just going to use bright green, just because I can, and I'm just going to draw out a rectangle like that, then I'm going to select the rectangle using my black arrow tool, selection tool. Double-click my properties panel, make sure your properties panel is open all the way up like this, so you've got your width, height, X, and Y values you can set. The width of our document we know is 640, the height we know is 50, and we're just going to set the X and Y to 0. That brings it right up and covers the entire document exactly. So I'm just going to right click on the mask layer and just choose mask. And there we go, we're masking off the stage. If I were to unlock the master layer, you're going to see everything turns green because we see the mask now. So what I'm going to do while we're working on this is I'm just going to click this purple square here. That will convert that to an outline, so we know it's there, but it's not preventing us from seeing anything we're working on. So it's just a good way to do that. And now that we have that, we can get ready and make the background of our navigation bar. So we're going to do that by selecting the master layer. We're working on the master layer. You can just leave the mask layer locked, so we, you know, make sure we don't get back up on that and start, you know, drawing there and messing everything up. Rectangle tool, once again, is what we're going to use. You can leave the fill to green. We're going to change it in a minute, but don't worry about that. Draw out another rectangle, select it. Again, set it to 640 by 50. X and Y, whoops, both 0. Okay, now we're going to put a gradient in this guy, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to drag my side tool panel out here, and you can see I've got my color panel open, and that's what you're going to want here. If you don't have it open, you can go Window, Color, Hotkey, Shift F9. That should be universal. Mac and PC both have Shift, so Shift F9. You should be good. One thing, you need to make sure that you are selecting the shape that we're about to work on, otherwise you're not going to see any of these changes and you wonder, you know, what's going on. So make sure you have it selected and click and hold this little swatch here, and then just come down with the eyedropper tool and just choose the straight black to white gradient. Now on the white side, we're going to choose a light desaturated blue, something like that. And then I'm going to click the black color stop, and we're going to choose a darker desaturated blue, something sort of like that. I'm going to make this blue a little bit lighter. Right about there is good. Okay, so we now have this nice blue gradient running back and forth just like that. If you want, you can save this color as a swatch by clicking this little flyout menu here, and it is moving off screen, so I'm going to drag it out here. Click this little flyout menu and just hit add swatch. You can see we now have it here in our swatches panel, right there. It is also over here, way off screen. So, whoops, and you can see I just colored it a solid color, so I would just come in here, just choose the gradient, and bam, back to where I was. Drag that back in there, close that guy up a little bit. Okay, so we have our gradient, and I want to now flip the gradient so it is running with the light blue at the top, dark blue at the bottom, pretty easy. Click and hold on the free transform tool and just choose the gradient transform tool. Note again the hotkey F. This is a tool that gets used quite a bit by me, especially if I'm doing any kind of web design or interface design kind of things. I am always grabbing the gradient transform tool to scale or rotate or reposition the gradient. Very, very useful tool. That's the F hotkey. It's kind of an important one. All right, now using this tool is very simple. You've got your center point and you have your end handles. We're just gonna, oops, click on the shape. Grab our end handle, this is the square one in the middle. I'm gonna squash it in, and then the round handle is the rotator, so I'm just gonna rotate this, going right top to bottom, just like that, perfect. Bring them in a little bit maybe, stretch it back out. Right there, that's good enough. So there we go, we have our background. What we want to do now, grab the black arrow, that's hotkey for that is V, by the way. I'm probably gonna start just using V when I say to select something. I'm just gonna be going for the black arrow. So, click to select that and modify, convert to symbol. And we are going to convert this to a movie clip symbol. Now, a couple things before you go speeding through this dialog box. We want to, well, I'm going to name it MC Master. The name really doesn't matter. It can be anything you want. The type of symbol is going to be a movie clip. Now, here's the important part, the registration, top left-hand corner. This is because we're going to have some movie clips inside of this movie clip. And when we start referencing them with ActionScript and playing with the X value, specifically when we make the slider, everything is going to be based off of this registration point, so it's very important that you set it to the top left-hand corner here, because if you remember a minute ago when we set this shape to go to the 0x and 0y, it pulled it right up into this top left-hand corner. That's because by default, the stage, that is, you can think of the stage's reference, or registration point, excuse me, as being that top left-hand corner. That's where 0 and 0, that's where everything starts and goes out from there. So by doing this inside of our movie clip, we're going to really simplify the process for us when we go and start, you know, crunching some numbers in ActionScript. Whereas if we set it to the center, we would have to, you know, have negative numbers and stuff going all over the place. This just really simplifies it. You're going to see how much it simplifies it when we get to the ActionScripting. So registration, top left-hand corner, kind of important. Hit OK. And in our library, we now have MC Master. Beautiful. I'm going to double-click inside of MC Master now, and I'm going to double-click and rename this layer background. Background. I'm going to select the background graphic, and I'm just going to, again, whoops, I'm again going to convert this to a movie clip symbol. Registration here is kind of irrelevant. I'm going to leave it to top left-hand corner just because the majority of the movie clips I want to make later are going to be registered in the top left-hand corner. So just to keep prevent myself from making a mistake later on, I'm going to do that. So I'm going to say MC background, and that should be good enough. Hit OK. And there we go, we now have our background. We can lock this layer up and we're gonna create two new layers, or excuse me, one new layer here. Double click, and we're going to call this button. Button, just like that. Okay, I am also going to save my document here. That is Control-Shift-S or Command-Shift-S would be save as. I'm just going to save it here on my desktop as navbar, lowercase, navbar.fla. Okay, that way, as I keep making changes, you can obviously save it. So here we go, button. Let's start creating our button. We grab the rectangle tool again. I'm just going to draw out a rectangle any size because I want to punch in specific numbers here. I want the width of this button to be 125 pixels, and we'll stick with 50 pixel height. Again, the X and Y are going to be 0. Now here you can see, because the registration point of this movie clip is that top left-hand corner, you can see a little crosshair up there. So it's kind of important, as I mentioned earlier. All right, now we have to somehow rotate this gradient to exactly match the gradient of our background so that our buttons don't look all funny when they, when you can see the background behind them. So I could grab the gradient transform tool and press that in, rotate him up, and try to get it exact. It is almost exact there, but it's not quite. There's a quick way to get around this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to unlock my background layer. I'm going to double click into that movie clip. The only reason I'm double clicking into it is so I can eyedrop this gradient. There we go. I now have the paint bucket tool and the fill is locked. That way, wherever the gradient starts, like up here and down here, it's going to be the same exact starting and ending spots for the gradient, so the pattern will match up exactly. So I'm going to go back to MC Master, and I'm going to lock that layer up, and I'm just going to click right there because I know I have that movie clip there. And you can see, if I shut off the background, I have a button there. But it is completely invisible because it matches up exactly. So that's pretty important that we make that look good. There we go. We just did that. Now, what I want to do, now that I'm thinking a little further ahead, we're going to have a little sliding light along the bottom of this. So what we're going to do is cut off 10 pixels of the bottom of this button. How can we do that quickly and easily? Well, go View, Rulers. See, Control-Alt-Shift-R, that would be Command-Option-Shift-R if you're on the Mac, brings up your rulers, and these are in pixels. So you can see if I move this up, we got our 0 and 0 up there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to zoom in a little bit, move it as close to that corner as I want. I'm just going to grab my selection tool, and I'm going to cut. Remember, the document's 50 pixels tall, so I can start right off 50, and I'm just going to go right up to 40. And drop it about as close to 40 as I can get. And that should be about exactly 10 pixels. And I'm just going to hit delete. Select that. You can see the height is now exactly 40 pixels. This leaves us a 10 pixel channel along the bottom to run that little light bar. So I'm going to select this button now, and I'm going to convert it to a movie clip. That was F8, the hotkey for converting to a symbol. Movie clip is a type of symbol. We're converting to a symbol, and we're converting it to a movie clip symbol. Hotkey to do that is F8. Say MC underscore button base. I'm going to leave the registration at the top left-hand corner. Okay. Now, this movie clip, I'm going to convert to a symbol again. So, F8, convert to symbol. This time, we're going to convert it to a button symbol. You're going to see why I created a movie clip first. We're going to name this BTN underscore button base. Now, I'm going to double-click inside this button. Because I created that movie clip to, first, and then wrap the button around a movie clip, I can apply filters and I can apply these color effects to this button, which is great. So first thing I'm going to do is hold down the Alt key or the Option key, click and drag this keyframe over to the hit state just to give us a hit area that is the same exact size as the button. Then on the up state, I'm going to Alt drag to the over and Alt drag to the down. So now we have a different up, over, and down state. What I want to do is select the over state, click on the actual button, and we're going to go to the filters, and we're going to apply, let me pull the filters panel out of here so you can see what I'm about to do. I'm going to hit the plus button, and I'm going to apply a glow, I believe, yes, a glow, and we're going to check off inner glow. There we go. I'm going to find a nice light blue, like that, and I'm going to blur it about 8, maybe more. Let's try 15. That looks pretty good. The strength, we're going to maybe have the strength, maybe a little more. Okay, 50 is good. You know what I'm going to choose? I'm going to choose one of these extremely aqua, light blues like that. And we can just leave the quality at low. You could up it to medium if you absolutely want to, but there's not really any point going higher than medium, not for something like this. Okay, so there we go. We have our inner glow. Let's just make a mental note. Remember that we have strength at 50 and our blur is 15. Come over here to the down state. Select that. Go glow. Inner glow once again. This time we're going to choose one of these dark blues. Our X and Y are 15. By the way, notice that they're both changing because we have them locked. So they will always be the same. If I click this little padlock, I could change one or the other individually. Strength, we will set this to about 40. That's good. And again, quality medium. It really smooths it out for us there. So we've got our upstate, which looks normal. Overstate lightens a little bit. Downstate darkens a little bit. And looking good. We want to create a new layer inside of here. Let me just drag my filters panel back down into this main dock here at the bottom. I'm going to insert a new layer here inside this button, and I'm just going to name it text, because this is where the word that sits on the button is going to go. We're going to choose the text tool, and I'm going to click anywhere. Make sure you're using static text, not dynamic or input text. Static text. And I'm just going to type home in all caps. I'm going to color this text white, moving slightly off screen, but white is right there. And I'm going to size it down just a little bit. Typically, when you're designing buttons, you should start with the button that has the longest word on it. And I'm breaking that rule here because I know in just a minute I'm going to make a portfolio button. But I'm going to think ahead, think about that. And I pretty well know that 20 here is just slightly too big for the word portfolio to comfortably fit on one of these buttons. We might be able to wedge it on, but I don't want it to look too bad. So we're going to set this to, let's try 16. That's pretty good. We could actually bold it if we want to, which we'll do. We'll just bold it. And then make sure we are aligned to the center, so all of our other text will be pre-aligned to the center when we come in here and change these later on for each individual button. Now, one other thing I want to do is just control-click this button now. So we've got the button selected, and with control still held down, select the text. So we should be selecting both the text and the button behind it here. There we go, button, text. Okay, we've got them both selected. I'm going to open the Align panel, window, align. Make sure two-stage is not checked on, and that's what it looks like when it's checked on. It kind of lights up a little bit. When it blends in with the rest of the panel, it's not selected, it's not active. We're just going to align the horizontal center of the button and this text and the vertical center of the button and this text. And again, it does not look like it's doing what I want it to do. Oh, yes, that's why. Hold Shift, not Control or Command. I don't know what I was thinking there. Hold Shift, that's how you select multiple items. And horizontal centers and vertical centers. And there we go, we're aligned nicely on the button. So there we go, that's our button. And double click out. Control Enter or Command Return to test it real quick, and we can see that it lights up. When we click down, it darkens. Wonderful. I'm going to save it, Command or Control S. So I'm just going to get rid of the rulers here using the hotkey. That'd be Control Alt Shift R or Command Alt Shift R. I'm pretty sure that's a default. I don't think I set that, but I may have. So what we need to do, get back inside of this master movie clip, and we have our button. We're going to take this button now, and we're going to right click it. I need to move this up. Select the button, right click it, and choose Duplicate Symbol. We need to name this symbol BTN underscore home. This is going to be the home button. Create a new layer. And what we're just going to alt click on this keyframe. Hold down the alt key, that'll be the option key on Mac. Click and drag straight up onto there. And we now have another button here. You can see we have two buttons. We're going to select this button, set the X to 125 and the Y to 0. That lines the buttons up perfectly beside each other. We're going to just double click and name this Port BTN for Portfolio, because I'm going to right click on this button again. Well, I'm just going to select it and go Modify Symbol, Duplicate Symbol. Same thing as before when we right clicked, except you can see it easily now. BTN underscore Folio. I'm going to double click into this button now. I'm going to choose this text. Double click. I'm just going to type the word portfolio. And it fits on the button pretty well. And you can see that because we duplicated the symbol, we don't have any problems with our original symbol changing. Again, create a new layer. Alt drag that portfolio up onto that. Rename this contact BTN, contact button. Select that contact button, and this time set the X to 250. So now we've got it sitting another 125 pixels to the right of our last button. Modify, symbol, duplicate symbol, and BTN underscore contact. Double click inside of this. Contact in all caps. Whoops, didn't mean to do that. Double click to get back to our master movie clip. All right, one more layer here. We're just going to have four buttons. I'm going to name this one Other BTN, and I'm going to Alt, drag that guy up there. Select this button, and we're going to set this to 375. Brings it over another 125 pixels to the right. Select, modify, symbol, duplicate that symbol, and we're just going to name this BTN Other. And this will just be some miscellaneous Other button. Just like that. Double click out. Okay, now what we have are four buttons here. They all work fine. They all work independently of one another. That's perfect. That's exactly what we want. We're going to go back to the very root timeline, the stage, the scene one here. So I'm just going to click that. We're back in our master level here within our Flash movie. What I want to do out here is create a new layer called AS for Action Script. I'm going to save my document again, Control Command S. And here on the Action Script layer, we're going to start typing actions. However, before I start typing actions, let's just get this slider set up. So I'm going to double click back inside of Master and just insert another layer and just name it Glow. Grab the rectangle tool. This is going to be kind of quick. White is fine for the color. The width is going to be 125 pixels, just like our buttons are 125 pixels. The height is 10. Remember, we had that groove set up for it. The X is going to be set at 0, and the Y is going to be set at 40. That's going to tuck it right in there beneath our button exactly. Now, if you can see a little line that's just from the guide or the outline of our mask, if we actually preview this, you can really see it out here. If we preview this, you'll see that it looks fine. It's tucked in nicely beneath our button. So I'm going to select that shape. I'm going to hit F8 to convert it to a symbol. This is going to be a movie clip symbol. And again, registration top left-hand corner. This is very important as well because this is actually what we're going to be sliding back and forth. I'm going to say MC Glow Thing. And I'm just going to select it. We're going to apply a quick blur filter to it. I'm moving slightly off screen. I'm just choosing blur. I'm going to blur it 8. And I'm going to choose another filter, which is glow. Again, I just moved slightly off screen. I'm going to set the color to white, which is just pound, FF, FF, FF. And the blur of the glow, let's try 15, that's pretty good. Strength is fine at 100, and you can set the quality to anything. I'm going to leave it at low for now, that's fine. It's a nice little glowing thing. And again, because we have a mask, the glow sticking off the sides is not going to be visible outside of this Flash movie, which is perfect. So I want to select this glow movie clip and just give it an instance name. I'm going to name it glow underscore MC. Double click to get back out of that. I'm going to select my master movie clip, which is selected here. Let's see, instance of MC master. I'm going to give this an instance name of master underscore MC. Try to keep these names simple so we can remember them when we start coding. All right, let's go up to Action Script, the Action Script layer, and I'm going to hit F9 to open up my Action Script panel. So, here we are. The first thing that I want to do is set up a timer that will trigger a bit of code to tell the glow to follow the mouse wherever it is. Now, we could use a method known as onEnterFrame, and EnterFrame is still a way of doing this here in ActionScript 3.0, but I prefer timers. Timers are more flexible, and that's just the way I prefer doing it. So, we're going to start by creating a variable. I'm type the word var. Move my script panel over so you can see the lines of code fully. Okay, var. We're going to name this timer, just the word timer. That's the name of our variable. I'm going to type a colon. That's the two dots, not the dot and the comma, two dots. And with a capital T, I'm going to type timer again because we're just saying the data type of this variable is a timer. Space equals space new capital T timer. Semicolon. That's the dot and comma. So there we go, we just created a new timer. Now, I want to set a delay for this timer. We can set a delay and the number of times the timer runs. I believe is what it is. So we're going to type an open parenthesis, and we're just going to set a delay because we just want this to continuously run. So we're going to give it a delay of 25 milliseconds. So it's going to be rather fast, which is good. So there we go. We have a timer made. Now we want to add an event listener to this timer. So we're going to say timer.add event with a capital E, listener with a capital L, open parenthesis, and this is a timer event, that's timer with a capital T, event with a capital E, dot timer, all caps, comma, space. The name of the function we're going to be calling when this timer is, you know, every 25 milliseconds when this function is going to be called. So we're just going to say follow capital F. That'll be the name of our function. Close parenthesis, semicolon. Let's go to the next line. Enter a return. We're just going to say timer.start. Open and close parenthesis, semicolon. It's timer.start. It's important that you get the period in there and not a comma, because your entire block of code will not work if you have the wrong character or symbol in there. Okay, let's create that follow F function. So I'm going to come down here. I'm on line 5. I'm going to type the word function, space, follow, capital F. It's important case sensitivity. If you haven't done much action scripting before, if you have, you know case sensitivity is very important. Open parenthesis. We're just going to type the letter E for event, colon. It's the two dots. And this is just a regular event. Close parenthesis, colon, and the word void. Open curly bracket. Enter return twice. Close curly bracket. Up arrow key. Right arrow key. So there we go. Now we're going to attach an event listener to the stage. So we're going to say stage.add event with a capital E, listener with a capital L, open parenthesis, and this is a mouse event. That's mouse with a capital M and E, capital E, dot mouse underscore move. You can see it coming up here in my tooltip, so I can just double click it, comma. And the function we want to call whenever the mouse is detected as moving, we're just going to call this one mouseF. Close parenthesis, semicolon. So this is the function that's going to be called every 25 milliseconds. It's basically just going to be telling the stage, hey, check to see if the mouse is moving, check to see if the mouse is moving. And if the mouse is moving, we want you to execute this said function. So we now need to create this mouseF function. Enter return a couple times, get down to line 9, and now we're going to type that mouse F function. So we're going to type the word function, space, mouse, capital F, open parenthesis, the letter E again, colon, and this is a mouse event. So we're going to type mouse event, that's with a capital M and capital E in their respective places, close parenthesis, colon, void. And we're going to open curly bracket, enter return twice, close curly bracket, up arrow, right arrow. And the first thing I want to do is I need to get inside of my master movie clip so I can tell this little guy right here, GlowMC, to move depending on where the mouse is. So let me come back out here to scene one, go back to the action script layer, open the actions panel back up. Here's what we need to write. We need to first say, hey, MasterMC. Remember, that's the name of our master movie clip, this guy. Master MC. So we need to call him and say, hey, I want to come inside of you. So we're going to say dot. And inside of you, I want to talk to glow underscore MC. If you remember, we gave that glow the instance name glow underscore MC. And here's what I want to happen to glow MC. I want the X value of glow MC to be affected by something. So I'm going to say GlowMC.x. So basically what we're saying is inside of master there's a movie clip named GlowMC and it has an x value. So what do we want the x value to equal? Well, here's what we want it to equal. We're going to say equals. We can just say stage here. Stage dot mouse capital X. Now, if we were just to leave this right now, it would look kind of funny because remember, the registration point of our movie clip is right here. So if the person's mouse is right in the middle of this button, this glow will be like halfway in this button. You know what? I'll show you real quick. Let me just put a semicolon here and if everything works, you can see here how we're dragging it by like the top left corner. I don't want to do that. I want to give the illusion that we're dragging it by the center, even though we're really not. So we're going to close this, and what I need to do is say, okay, we've got our mouse X. We know it's that point. Well, what's half of 125? Well, I know half of 124 is 64. So let's, or not 64, excuse me, 62. So I want to say mouse X minus 62. Well, because it's 125, we could actually say 63, and you couldn't really tell the difference because we don't really have 62 and a half. So I'm just going to say 63 just because I can. So close the actions panel, and let's see. I'm going to save it to Control S or Command S. Control Enter, Command Return, and check it out. It now looks like we're dragging it by the center. Now, here is where something kind of important comes into play. What we could end up having a problem, although it doesn't really look like it in this movie, because, you know, it's pretty simple, but if you have a pretty complex Flash project, you may have your frame rate set very high or very low. Let's set our frame rate up to like 45 frames per second. Let's test the movie. Okay, you can see, if you are following along, that it has become very smooth, even though it's probably not apparent watching this video because I'm only shooting this video at, I don't know, 15 frames per second. So we can't see 45 frames per second. But I can see it here on my monitor, and you can see it if you're following along. Let's take the frame rate and down it to about 10. And now test the movie. Well, now you can see the light looks so much more jumpy. It looks really bad compared to that 45 frames per second. So we're going to use a little bit of code called update after event. Now, there's a little bit of a different way we're going to have to use it here in ActionScript 3.0. That's something we're going to go over. So let's take a look. F9 to open up the actions panel again. All right. I'm going to add an event listener. I'm just going to add one. I'm just going to type add event listener. And this is going to be a mouse event. Mouse event. And I'm again going to be listening for the mouse to be moved. So mouse move. And when the mouse gets moved, I want to run the function update F. Close parenthesis, semicolon. All right, what's the update F function? All right, well, let's come outside of this function and create a new function. Function update F. And this is an event. And as we specified up here, it is a mouse event. So mouse with a capital M, event with a capital E, close parenthesis, colon, and the word void, open curly bracket, close curly bracket, up arrow key, right arrow key. All right, now inside of here, all we have to type is E. It's the same thing we've been using here to specify event, E dot update after event, open and close parenthesis, semicolon. Now, check this out. We're going to hit F9. We're going to save our document. And I'm going to set the frame rate to 2 frames per second. And if you're following along, I urge you to do the same. Now let's check, see what happens. Command or Control Enter. Now look at how smooth it runs, whether or not we have it at 2 frames per second, or whether or not we have it at 100 frames per second. Okay? It's the same exact. So using update after event makes frames per second really not even matter. As far as, you know, whatever you're either dragging or, you know, telling to follow the mouse or whatever. So we can just set this back to 12 frames per second. And we don't really have to even worry about that because we're taking care of it with this function here, update after event. So next thing I want to cover is, I don't know if you've noticed, but when I move, I can move way off stage and the light moves way out there. So let's just constrain the light to sit underneath these buttons. Just a quick, easy way to do it here. I hit F9 to open up the actions panel. I'm going to come back into this function here. I'm going to use an if statement. So I'm going to come to the end of this add event listener line and hit the enter or return key to move down. I'm on line 12 now. And I'm going to type if open parenthesis. So here we go. If mouse, just the word mouse and the capital X. So if mouse is less than, that's the angle bracket pointing to the left. Okay, so I'm pointing into mouse X. If it is less than or equal to, let's say 63, because that's what we have our mouse, you know, offsetting that glow by. If it is less than or equal to 63, we're going to put a close parenthesis, open curly bracket, enter return twice, close curly bracket, up arrow key. So if the X of the mouse is less than or equal to 63, we want it to do something. We want the master _mc.glow_mc. Okay, we're climbing inside of that master movie clip again. We want the x of that, so dot x, space equals space. We want that to equal 0. So we're going to type 0 and a semicolon. So if we go less than 63 with the mouse, this glow will simply lock at 0, and you know it'll just wait for us to come back to where it knows it can move. All right, now after this, we're going to say else if open parenthesis mouse x is greater than or equal to, 437, close parenthesis, open curly bracket, enter return twice, close curly bracket. So if it is greater than or equal to 437, which again is, you know, we've got our offset happening, that's 63 pixel offset. So if it is greater than that, we want master mc.glow _mc.x to equal, let's make it equal 375, because the glow is 125 pixels across, and we want it to stop right underneath that last button. Throw a semicolon on the end of that, and let's check out what we have done here. F9 to put that down, save our file, control enter, command return, and okay, I'm moving off stage. I'm gonna expand this, we can really see I'm moving way over here. You can see it's staying underneath home, and I'm moving way over here and staying underneath other. So there we go, quick and easy. We have now constrained it to stay underneath our buttons and follow the mouse. Let's close that guy up. All right, come back to the actions. We still are not done scripting. We have a little bit to go. What we want to happen is we want this glow to stick to the bottom of whatever button we choose. So when we click a button, we want this glow to, you know, snap to the bottom of that button. So here's what we're going to do. And actually, here is where ActionScript 3.0 starts to really save you time. I can't even tell you how many emails I've gotten from people, you know, frustrated with ActionScript 3.0 and the amount of code you have to write. Here is a big time saver. And I'm not even going to start to explain why, but if you research, I can tell you, look into Flash and display lists and really read up on that, and you'll start to understand the way Flash works with movie clips and event handlers and everything like that. So we're going to come down here. I'm just going to add another line of code, and I'm going to comment this out and just put a little division here just to help us stay organized. I'm going to say button code. Down to the next line. And I'm going to say master _mc dot add event with a capital E, listener with a capital L, open parenthesis, we're listening for a mouse event again, event M and E again, capital letters, dot mouse _down, comma, and the function that we want to execute is just going to be glow stick F, close parenthesis, semicolon. Hit enter, return several times, and here we are down on line 24. You know, I'm going to punch a bunch of lines down so we're more toward the middle of my screen. Okay, line 24 is what we are working on. Again, I'm just saying this if you're following along exactly. You don't have to be on line 24 for this bit of code to work, just to make that extra clear. I'm going to create the function, glow stick. That's with a capital S, by the way, I did that. Glow stick, capital F. Open parenthesis, E, colon. This is a mouse event. Closed parenthesis, colon, void. Open curly bracket, close curly bracket, up arrow key, right arrow key. Okay, we're inside of this function. Now, what do we want to happen? Basically, we want this glow, when we click on any of these buttons, we automatically, you know, bam, as soon as we click that button, we want this glow, we want the X of the glow to equal the X of the button selected. And this is where, again, it is important that we have the registration of our glow in the top left corner. You can see it in the top left corner. And for our buttons, it's also the top left corner. So this is registered as being on 125 of X and 0 of Y. That's perfect. If I register this as 125 of X, look at that. It moves right underneath portfolio, same exact positioning. So that's going to work really in our favor now. And we're not going to have to worry about, you know, calculating all kinds of numbers and, you know, yada, 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 yada. We can just simply put in a simple line of code. And here is where ActionScript 3.0 saves us a lot of time. All we have to type is master, without the comma at the beginning, master _mc dot glow _mc dot x. Okay, we've done this before. space equals space E dot target dot X. And this does this for every child movie clip within the master MC. We just added this event listener to master movie clip. But now you're going to see when I click any of those buttons inside of master movie clip, glow MC is going to equal their X. Let's check it out. Hit F9 to close the actions. We're going to save this, and I'm going to hit Control Enter, Command Return to preview the movie. Okay, I'm just moving around, and let's see what happens when I click contact. You can see, bam, moves right underneath it. Home, right underneath it. Other, right underneath it. Portfolio, right underneath it. Just that one little bit of code. So that is where ActionScript 3.0 is going to start saving you time when you start to realize how this all works together. And you know, one little bit of code like that saves us from having to write, you know, 4 or 8 event listeners for these buttons. All right, so now let's take a look at linking these buttons. Let me create another division here and just say links. Now, if you have seen my stuff on how to link in ActionScript 3.0, this is going to be nothing new. We're just going to go over how to link, although I will just quickly touch on how to link within the Flash movie. We're going to look at how to, you know, dig within a timeline and get down to a certain frame label that you have set aside. But for now, we are simply going to add event listeners to each of those 4 buttons because we want each of them to go to a different URL. We're just going to assign an event listener to each of them. So I'm actually going to close my actions panel. I'm going to double click inside of my master movie clip. I'm going to select each of these and just give them an instance name. I'm just going to name this one home. You can name them home underscore BTN. The reason I usually name them underscore BTN or underscore MC is because ActionScript likes that. When you name your movie clips with underscore BTN underscore MC and you put like a period after them, the little tooltip menu will show up and, you know, show you what you can do, or theoretically what you can do if everything is working properly. So that's the reason I usually do that. So here I'm just going to say folio underscore BTN and contact underscore BTN and then other underscore BTN. All right, I'm going to do the first one of these buttons in ActionScript 3. Okay, F9 to open up the actions again. And then I'm going to pause the video. I'm going to take care of the last 3, and I'll just go over them quickly with you when I get back and make sure everything works. So here's what we're going to do. We're first going to say, okay, get inside of master MC again and find home underscore BTN. Now watch what happens when I press period. You can see the tooltip still shows up. Now let's say I had just named that clip home. When I hit period, you can see nothing shows up. So ActionScript likes that extra prefix or suffix, excuse me, on the end of your instance name. So period, and we can just say add event listener. You're listening for a mouse event dot click. So click in all caps, comma, and that's just gonna be home F. Close parenthesis, semicolon. All right, let's create that function. I'm gonna go function, and you can actually reuse this very easily. So I'm basically, when I pause the movie, I'm just gonna quickly copy and paste this stuff. I'm gonna say function home F. It is an event. It is a mouse event. Close parenthesis, colon. Void. Open curly bracket, enter return twice, close curly bracket, up arrow key, right arrow key. All right, now in here, we need to create a new URL request. So we're going to create a variable to hold that URL request. Pretty simple. Type the word var to let ActionScript know we're creating a variable. We're going to call this home link. It's with a capital L. I just like to use camel coding as my, that's my preferred way of typing it in Flash. Home link, and the data type is a URL request. And it equals a new instance of the URL request class. Open parenthesis, and here's where we specify the URL. So we're going to say open parenthesis, open quotes, http colon forward slash www.tutvid.com. Close quote, close parenthesis, semicolon. All right, there's our variable. Next step, super duper easy. Type the word navigate to, with a capital T, URL, all caps. Navigate to URL, open parenthesis, and now we just need that URL. This URL is now contained in the variable home link. So we're just gonna type the word home, capital L, link. Just like that, close parenthesis. Actually, no, not close parenthesis. I'm gonna type comma, open quote, underscore blank, closed quote, close parenthesis, semicolon. That will open this up in a new blank window. If you want to open it in the same window, you just switch blank here to self. So So underscore blank, underscore self, that's where you add them now in ActionScript 3.0. I do not believe I covered that in my ActionScript 3 and buttons video because I've gotten quite a few questions about that. So that's where you put it. That's how it works. And now, real quick, just going to hit F9, bring myself back out here. I'm going to save my document, test my movie. I'm going to choose the home button, and I should have, yes, a couple extra copies of my site open now. See? Click it. Oh, there we go. Pops right up. So we've got that link started. I'm going to close this, finish yours, and I will be back in about a second. Okay, so I've got mine, and let's check them out, see if they work. Well, real quick, before we check them out, I'm just going to go over. See, I've got three new event listeners here, each talking to a different button, and each calling a different function. And those different functions are listed right below here. I just changed the variable name because you need to have a different variable containing a different URL. I mean, you could have the same URL, but it would kind of defeat the purpose of having two different buttons. And obviously, if the variable name changes, the variable name that you call in the navigate to URL also has to change. So there we go. Hit F9 to close this. I'm going to save my document. Control Enter to test it. And we know home works. Let's try portfolio. Here we go. Live.com. And we can pretty well safely assume that the others work. So let's move on and just look at how we can use these buttons to link a certain area of our Flash document. What exactly do I mean? Well, let's say you are creating this within an entire Flash site. So this is just really an element of the Flash site. All the rest of the stuff is lying around this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to double click into here, and let's say I have, I'm going to create a new layer, my portfolio page. I'm going to say folio page. And on this keyframe, we have the movie clip, which in this case is going to be a simple green box. This green box, I'm going to convert it to a symbol, a movie clip symbol. I'm going to say, MC underscore folio page, because this would be like the page with all of my portfolio stuff on it. All right, makes sense. Folio page, it's our portfolio page. And we want that to appear when somebody selects the portfolio button. So what we need to do is, well, first double click into it, and we have to convert this to a movie clip again. Actually, technically, we don't have to convert it to a movie clip, and I'm not going to, just for the sake of time. What I'm going to do is hold down the Alt key and just drag out a keyframe to frame 10. So we have two copies of this. All right, we're going to right-click on the keyframe on frame 1 and just hit Clear Keyframe and drag this guy out to frame 10. There we go. Kind of defeated the purpose of doing what I did in the first place, but there we go. We have nothing on frame 1. So initially, when you load the site, your portfolio page, which in this case is a very tiny rectangle, is not visible. So let's just place a stop action here. I'm going to create a new layer, name it AS. Right up here, we want to create a stop action. So F9, type the word stop, open, close, parenthesis, semicolon. F9 to close that guy up. So this is just going to sit here until we tell this to move and go to frame 10 and show us our content. So we're going to put a keyframe there on frame 10. F6 gives us a keyframe. And we are going to give this guy a frame label. We're just going to call it content, because this is the portfolio content. We want you to go to content to display the content. Double click back, and I want to select a portfolio page, which is now invisible because I don't have anything on the first frame. However, I can see the registration point, so I'm going to select the registration point. You can see instance of MC folio page. Instance name will be folio underscore MC. Very important that we remember that. All right, let's get back to that main timeline. Select the ActionScript frame, F9, and let's choose the portfolio function. I'm going to select all of this stuff, and I'm going to select this apply block comment button. Just comments all of it out real quick for us. Hit enter return to add another line here, and we're simply going to say master underscore MC dot folio underscore MC dot go to and stop, open parenthesis, open quotes, content, close quotes, close parenthesis, semicolon. And that's it. Let's see what happens. Test the movie, and choose portfolio. Check it out. A green square appears, which would be your portfolio page. You can do that with all of these, and that's how you can quickly navigate around inside of your document here in Flash. So that's how you do it. That is the creation of this pretty simple navigation bar. It took a little while to do, but a lot of cool ActionScript 3 tips, and hopefully this is going to get you well on your way to understanding ActionScript 3.0 and creating you know, building your very own creations here in Flash using ActionScript 3.0 instead of ActionScript 2.0. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. And thank you very much for watching. Please go check out the site. That's www.tutvid.com.